Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Before we get into the episode today, I want to give a quick shout out to Twin Strangers Productions and their sci-fi horror adventure audio drama, Syntax, the fourth season of which is coming soon. Syntax is a fantastic show that smashes together science fiction, cryptids, speculative biology, and my personal favorite, linguistics. It follows the story of Silas as he works to translate an ancient text, hoping to find clues that will help his team of six understand the mystery of the breaches. If you enjoy Annihilation, as in the book, not the concept in general, or the Stargate TV series, I think you'll really love this story. Season 4 of Syntax is releasing in April 2024, making it the perfect time to start listening. Syntax is streaming now on all major podcast platforms. Visit syntaxpodcast.com, that's Syntax Podcast, all one word, for more information. Know the depths. Wish for more. I had another story I wanted to ask about. So there was, and I think this is a Newcastle story, because I think this is when Mum was still working.
Right.
But it involved a helicopter.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was asking Dad about the helicopter story. Because I remember you telling me the helicopter story.
And yeah, because I was angry.
I worked in the liver unit, and there was a person who had liver failure, needed a liver transplant.
So if patients were going for transplant or anything, major liver, because Newcastle couldn't do it, they were sent to Leeds or Birmingham. And I think it was Birmingham this patient had to go to. And the night before, it had always been a bit iffy whether this guy was going to go or not. I can't remember why it was iffy, but it was iffy.
So I think it was the SHO on that weekend. And I was actually working on the next door ward and covering, I think it was diabetes. And the liver unit needed somebody to accompany somebody down to Birmingham, which is where the liver transplants used to be done. And I volunteered on the grounds that I would do it if they got me a helicopter.
And I came onto the ward the next night, and they were saying, you know, we had handover, and they were saying that this patient had been sent down by helicopter down to Birmingham. And everybody wanted to go on a helicopter with a patient. Everybody wanted to do this. And Yeah, and sort of went on, and they said, oh, yeah, so-and-so's gone away down to Birmingham in the helicopter. And it was like, oh, and it was your Graham that went. I was furious. It just wasn't fair. How could he go? It just wasn't fair. So, yeah, but then, of course, he got stuck in Birmingham. He couldn't get back. Can't remember why. There was something, reason why the helicopter couldn't bring him back.
It was a Sunday, and it was a really cold, miserable Sunday afternoon in the middle of winter. So this helicopter landed at Freeman Hospital, and I got into the helicopter with the person, and we flew down. Now, as we were flying down south, we reached a front, so the helicopter couldn't go any further. So we landed in a field in Nottingham, in the hospital, which I then went to work in at the City Hospital. So anyway, we landed at the City Hospital helicopter pad, and an ambulance then took me from Nottingham to Birmingham. The trouble was the helicopter flew back. So I was then got to Birmingham with this patient and then handed the patient over to Birmingham. And I said, how am I going to get back? At which point everybody said, don't know. So I rang up Newcastle Hospital and they said, nothing to do with us, mate.
So yes, they then had to try and find the money to come back.
I think I borrowed your mum's credit card and used her credit card to get a train back from Birmingham into Newcastle on a Sunday evening in the middle of winter. So I basically was abandoned in Birmingham by the NHS.
Yeah.
The reason I always told it was because I was angry.
Yeah, you see the thing
it
is,
it wasn't fair.
My only regret was it wasn't Royal Navy, so I didn't get a Sea King helicopter. I got a little air ambulance one. I mean, no, nowadays they wouldn't let us SHO accompany a patient in liver failure who started fitting in the helicopter. They wouldn't allow somebody to do that. It would be like a whole team would take it. But in those days, you know, a senior house officer in a helicopter, bag of drugs, you know, just deposited, looked after them all the way down there, and then had to sort myself out getting back.
Not fair. I got to go in an ambulance as a student nurse and go and pick up a dead person, I mean. But, you know, he got to go in an ambulance, in a helicopter. That's not fair. That's a good story. When I went in the ambulance, second year student, and I was on the children's elective surgical ward, and we had to transfer a patient, one of the children, from Freeman over to the RVI, to a different hospital to have an operation. So they sent me in the ambulance with the child. So that's what we did. So anyway, we get to the RVI, we drop the child off, get back in the ambulance to go back to the hospital. And we're just coming up the driveway of the Freeman Hospital, and the ambulance men get a radio call through to go through to Hexham, which is about half an hour's drive away from Newcastle. So they turned around to me and they said, are you busy on the ward? And I said, no, not really. Oh, well, you can come with us. So I was in the blue light ambulance all the way out to Hexham. And so anyway, we went to pick up this gentleman. So I had to stay in the back of the ambulance while the ambulance men went in. So the next thing, they bring the stretch of this man out and hook him all up inside the ambulance. So the ambulance man that got in the back with me, he says, oh, he's dead, he's passed away. But he says, we can't say that to the family. By this time, we're blue lighting it down the road.
Yeah.
But we can't say that to the family because we're not doctors, so we can't say he's definitely dead. He has to be certified by a doctor. So we are sort of going through red lights. There was roadworks and there was a red light. We had to go up on the pavement and get through all these roadworks. Their family of the man was in a car behind us, following us through the red light, up on the pavement, through the roadworks. Yeah. You're not supposed to do that.
I was going to say, like, because you know, Dad was saying, oh, you know, it's, you couldn't do all this stuff nowadays. But I'm pretty sure that's always been illegal.
That's always been illegal. So, yeah, so we get to the RVI. And the way they pull around, and of course the family's pulling round in the car exactly the same time as us. So the ambulance guy said to me, he says, look, he says, we can't be seen to be just sitting here doing nothing, even though he is actually dead. So he says, you're going to have to make it look like you're doing compressions, chest compressions, that we're actually doing something, because he says they can see through the glass at the bottom of the door of the ambulance. So he says, as they're coming round, you're going to have to look like you're trying to do something. So So yeah. So anyway, open up the doors and so we get him out, and and I, of course, I just had to stay in the back of the ambulance. So yeah.
That's an excellent story.
So I got an ambulance, he got a helicopter.
I also took a patient from Aberdeen to Cambridge in an air ambulance, which was interesting because the patient was on a ventilator. So we had to sort of, we got delivered to Aberdeen Airport and we had to sort of run with this patient. Well, we had to push him quickly into the air, into the plane to put the plug in to get the ventilator to work. Mm. And then flew all the way down to Cambridge, landed in some sort of military airfield.
Oh, wow.
Well, I remember the halfway down, the pilot saying, "Oh, do you want something to eat?" And he sort of turns around with a tray of sandwiches. So anyway, so we landed at Cambridge Airport, and then we deposited that patient at Papworth, and then got the plane back. Oh, well, we've had some bizarre stories. There's one in Nottingham where, well, somebody came to see me at one evening, said, you the registrar on call that night, and said, yes. And he said, well, this 50-year-old man who's looks as though he's dying and we don't know why. So I thought, well, I better go and see him. So I went to see him, and he clearly was dying. He was horrible, sweaty, clammy. I thought, well, this guy may have a tamponade, which was fluid around the heart, because nobody ever thought of this. I managed to persuade an echo person to come in and do the echo, and yes, there was fluid. So I rang up the cardiologist and said, you know, could you come and drain this fluid? And he said, sorry, mate, I'm babysitting. So he said, have you ever done a pericardiocentesis before? I said, no. And he said, well, all you do is basically just go under the sternum and just aim for the shoulder. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. So I just got some local anesthetic, a big 50 mil syringe and a big long needle, and just did it. Nowadays, nowadays nobody would do that sort of thing. You know, they would have to have a consultant in, echocardiogram, it would have to be done, lots of everything. And I saved that man's life, whereas nowadays, by the time we actually got around to it, the guy would have probably been dead. We were quite happy to do all sorts of strange things. You know, it was a case of see one, do one, teach one. I mean, my first weekend as a house officer, I was on call on the ward, and on a Sunday lunchtime, I was told that some person had come to have a pint of blood venesected because they had some condition that needed blood taken off. And I said, I've never done that before. So the sister literally just got the kit and threw it at me and said, work it out.
Oh, my God.
And then, so I sort of sat down, worked it out, and did it. Whereas nowadays, as a house officer, would never be expected to do that sort of thing. It would probably be a registrar or consultant level, and they certainly wouldn't expect the kit to be thrown at them, and certainly not to work it out from first principles. No, it was far more fun then, and, you know, willing to take risks.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Before we get into the episode today, I want to give a quick shout out to Twin Strangers Productions and their sci-fi horror adventure audio drama, Syntax, the fourth season of which is coming soon. Syntax is a fantastic show that smashes together science fiction, cryptids, speculative biology, and my personal favorite, linguistics. It follows the story of Silas as he works to translate an ancient text, hoping to find clues that will help his team of six understand the mystery of the breaches. If you enjoy Annihilation, as in the book, not the concept in general, or the Stargate TV series, I think you'll really love this story. Season 4 of Syntax is releasing in April 2024, making it the perfect time to start listening. Syntax is streaming now on all major podcast platforms. Visit syntaxpodcast.com, that's Syntax Podcast, all one word, for more information. Know the depths. wish for more.